Hey, welcome to the What's Your Jock Support Pee Wee Podcast. This is the beginning of our series on sports representations in movies, specifically high school movies, movies about high school that feature high school sports. Does that make sense? At any rate, this series is called There's No I in Teen, Playing Sports, Playing Identities. We review some of our favorite, as some of hopefully your favorite movies, where high school, sports, and growing up face off. Exploring the themes sports draws out in the movies, from more literary, I'm a professor of English, and psychological,
I'm a professor of psychology,
perspectives. And Izzy here,
I'm a fan of High School Musical, and a student.
But why? We think it's fun. That should be enough, but we know there's gotta be more. To play with academic-y theories, and show how academic discourse can complicate sports in a fun and accessible form. We want to be good team players.
We also want to show how prevalent these theories and discourses are in all sorts of media portrayals, even teen movies.
We'll share a little bit about how we felt reviewing High School Musical. Jack, why don't you go ahead and start?
This movie's a little outside of my typical viewing. It has neither massacre nor chainsaw in the title. That said, it's interesting to watch movies like this that had an impact on the subsequent generations. When I told some of my students that I was planning to watch this, they were pretty jazzed.
Let me just ask you a question. After watching High School Musical, and try to be as positive as you can, what did you want to do with Chainsaw and or Massacre?
Well, if you want me to be nice, I'm not sure I can fully answer that question, but I think there would be an interesting version of this where we have a whole other group in the high school that are actually potential future serial killers or mass murderers, you know, just walking around singing songs about taking out camp counselors and maybe what would happen if they had to swim too far out into the middle of Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah, well, let's not forget also that, you know, part of the theme of the movie, which we'll get into, is being multifaceted. So that could be one aspect of one's identity.
I guess I shouldn't pigeonhole these future mass murderers. Maybe they could also be excellent poets.
Yeah, they're not mutually exclusive.
All right. So, well, when I felt awkward without my kids, and it reminded me of being at the zoo with just my wife or on a playground, or watching kids play soccer like one of your friend's kids and people don't really know you, it kind of looks like you're being watched and people are judging you, thinking that you're going to take their kids or, you know, you have some kind of nefarious intent. It also reminded me, and I'm a Twilight fan.
And we probably will discuss the Twilight baseball scene sometime in the future. But I went to the premiere of Twilight when I was living on Staten Island without kids. It was about 12 years ago. And I was really sad that I didn't have a 12-year-old daughter to go with me. So it was just me and my wife at 33, feeling kind of a stigma when you're surrounded by 12-year-old to 14-year-old girls who scream when Edward Cullen or Edward Pattinson takes the stage. Anyway, I'm feeling a stigma enjoying teen movies right now in the twilight of my life.
It kind of makes me feel a little like Gabriella. You know, did you ever feel that there's this whole other person inside of you just looking for a way to come out?
Your entire quote made me feel as awkward as you did at the Twilight movie.
Good. Okay. Izzy, you're up next. Let's hear about you as a fan.
I, on the other hand, was a part of the key demographic when High School Musical was released. The first one came out in 2006, and I was 7, so like very much into the Disney Channel original movies at the time, like The Cheetah Girls, which came out around the same time. And I actually remember driving back home with my family on this like 11 or 10 hour road trip, and my brother and I were like begging my parents to pull over somewhere so we could watch the premiere of High School Musical 2, because, you know, this wasn't like a time with on demand. Like, that was the time. We couldn't wait for the rerun. It's too important.
Oh, reveal. What a reveal.
You didn't have your VHS recorder set to tape the show when it came
out? No, not. Yeah, they're like, we're not, not worth pulling over.
Were your parents into it? Did they want to see it?
No, they were like, we have so much of this drive left, you know, like with two little kids in the back. They're like, we don't. It's not like a sports bar is going to be playing High School Musical, like, you know, specific TV. Like,
you know what? That's a niche that needs to happen, right? Like the Disney dive bar, diving Disney.
The first theme we want to talk about through using our expertises is status quo. That really famous song that kind of encapsulates the major theme. Stick to the status quo. kind of He's a Pure Shooter theme about boxing out. I'm a cognitive psychologist. I study human memory and information processing in general. How do we process the world around us and in many cases simplify the world for our understanding? Think about things like categories and how we use those to generalize or in many cases overgeneralize about the members of those categories, including the people, the students, all these cliques. The status quo is sort of like the prototype or norm for a category.
And for me, that status quo concept connects to the sports cliche, shut up and dribble. It's another way to make categories simple, to keep the world simple. If you remember, to quote Ingram,
this is a Jum Doc alert, so keep the political commentary to yourself, or as someone once said, shut up and dribble.
No one except pundits have a right to speak.
I think those are both really great points, and I'd also like to add that, you know, as kind of cheesy and lowbrow some of these movies are, they really did affect how a whole generation processed the world around us. Like, of course, it wasn't like High School Musical solved high school bullying or identity crises, but it did show a lot of kids, and myself included, that not only can you be more than one thing, but you can be whatever you want to be, even if no one expects it from you.
Yeah. You can chainsaw trees, you can chainsaw art, you can chainsaw people.
As long as you're willing to accept consequences.
Yeah, I think there's some other aspects to it as well. So think in terms of the technician versus performer trope in the movie. A trope, by the way, as TV Tropes describes, is a storytelling device or convention, a shortcut for describing situations that the storyteller can reasonably assume the audience will recognize. It's kind of like a prototype for a category. It's the thing that we expect, sort of the best version or the best fit version of that, even if best doesn't describe how we feel about it.
One trope described by TV Tropes is Ryan and Sharpay versus Troy and Gabriella.
Ryan and Sharpay have been singing for years.
We need to save our show from people who don't know the difference between a Tony Award and Tony Hawk.
Use star roles as status symbols and audition with professionally choreographed routines and costumes, while Troy and Gabriella just want to sing because it makes them happy. They start doing it in secret and audition in their sports uniform and lab coat.
I wasn't trying to beat anyone out. We didn't even audition. We were just singing.
You won't convince Sharpay of that, I'm telling you. If that girl could figure out a way to play both Romeo and Juliet, her own brother would be ace out of a job.
I told you, it just happened.
TV Tropes isn't exactly fair here. I mean, Ryan and Sharpay enjoy it too, and they are experienced. It's more like an underdog story, where amateurs who just have a lot of passion and joy win out over the experienced professionals who have that same joy.
I think another TV and movie trope worth mentioning, especially in high school movies, is that the villain or villains have to lose. And especially if they're perceived as mean, everyone starts rooting for them to fail just as much as they're rooting for the protagonist to win.
So, there's a lot to tease out here. There are questions about what counts as joy. Like, to be joy for Troy joy, it's got to be public. If basketball is joy and that's public, then the logic might go, to get joy singing, it's got to be public. And why can't we have something like Music Ball or Basket Song, like some kind of magic musical or some kind of basketball that combines the two? Instead of a free throw, have a stage show, like LeBron James and Steph Curry have to perform a Broadway song to get the foul points.
I don't know which part to respond to. Okay, I'm going to just go back to Troy Joy because I think that musical needs no notes. But I feel like it's hard to say where his joy stems from. I could see arguments from multiple sides. I think some could say he derives joy from succeeding in public and lean into the more masculine, ego-driven aspect. But I think he could just as easily argue that the joy he gets from singing publicly stems from the level of acceptance and support he gets by the end. That he felt that joy from being cheered on in something he never thought he could do, not necessarily just because it's in front of people.
And I think another interesting issue is the fact that, you know, if anything, Troy and Gabriella would be streaky shooters. You know, they're just living on the sweet side of variance. Maybe if we could repeat this over and over and over and over again, Troy and Gabriella wouldn't win out every single time. But that natural talent and maybe some of the joy they're feeling right now pushes them to a point where they could be good, at least in the situation. Overall, how good could they be? Well, if they're doing it for their first time, maybe they just got lucky this one time, and that joy is part of that or a reaction to that luck.
I think another way to look at that trope is through the lens of expertise versus talent.
And there are some problems with that, too. Sharpay and Ryan aren't throwing up bricks. They are good, but Troy and Gabriella are raining threes like they are unconscious. And there was some kind of magic that happened between Troy and Gabriella. Not much magical happens when you play basketball together. But sing, perform in a musical, that's magic. So how fair is it to Sharpay and Ryan to fail?
When they are experts who are trained, They're not relying on magic or talent.
Well, okay, before I answer that, I think I'm actually going to back up and just challenge you. I think there is something magical about playing any sport when a team comes together and works in a cohesive way. Like, there is something really special about that. And it's, you know, like anything in life, it doesn't come all the time. It's very rare. And I think when it can be magical and beautiful, like people are moving and working as a unit. And I don't know, so...
I don't necessarily disagree with you, but it's interesting when it's put in some kind of romantic, heteronormative, where you get those, for some reason, it's just funny that you get those stories where it's, you know, they have the same thing they're trying to hide, but it becomes magical. They become really good with this talent that they have. But I wonder if there's ever going to be a movie where you do the reverse and Gabriella has some magic with Troy on the basketball court, which would be kind of cool. That could be something that could happen. That's all.
I gotcha. So for the, how fair is it to Sharpay and Ryan to fail? I'm not sure I would say it's unfair for Sharpay and Ryan to fail, because just because they have a good choreographed routine doesn't mean that they deserve to win. Like, Gabriella and Troy are better than it, although it does feel weird to say, is fair that they failed, that Sharpay and Ryan failed. And just to kind of play this out for a moment, it's an audition for a High School Musical, right? Like, they don't have to show up in a full ensemble with a, you know, intricate choreographed dance. Like, they just have to show that they're capable and that they do have talent. And as long as they can learn how to do the show's choreography and do well there, like, they deserve to have a shot just as much as anyone else. Like, to me, the only way their audition was worse is because they were late, not because they weren't prepared.
So you get the feeling Troy and Gabriella may have gotten away with a bit of a walk. We aren't exactly saying shut up and dribble, but we are saying the world is complicated and tropes, cliches, and categories help us simplify things. Makes it seem like you're getting good open looks when really there's a lot more to it.
Thing is, it's important to think about who is saying what and the stigma associated with the person, because that drives interpretation. So jocks still have that stigma of being dumb and one-dimensional. But in the context of High School Musical, this is challenged. Troy's smart, and High School Musical critiques such pigeonholing, since he starts to expand his identity to show that he's more than just a basketball player. He's also a drama kid. But it isn't fair to all. Ryan and Sharpay are still stigmatized as drama kids whose efforts are unappreciated.
Although, I don't know if I'd say they were unappreciated, less appreciated for sure, but at least in the outside world, there has been a whole lot of love, support, and appreciation for Sharpay especially. Like, everyone still loves Bop to the Top, and she actually had a spin-off movie called Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure. So the world... even at the time, right after, did show a lot of love for her.
So when we simplify or categorize others, there's a danger of oversimplifying and missing the characteristics and talents of those individuals that go beyond that prototype or that basic representation of a category. Athletes might know a lot about politics. Reporters might know a lot about sports. A couple of stars from the Disney Channel Child Star Factory might be able to ball and sing.
Keep an ear out for our next episode in the series, where we'll be reviewing Teen Wolf, the 1980s film featuring Michael J. Fox.